Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Thursday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a day where I guess it shouldn't be a surprise that we got a pretty good rainfall in the last hour. I was caught a little by surprise. I checked my phone this morning. I had to get out and get a couple of things done first thing this morning when everything was still wet from yesterday. But I looked at my phone, and according to it, I'm not going to trust it that much anymore. There wasn't going to be any more rain all day. It said it was going to be cloudy at around 11 and then sunshine for the rest of the day. So I got all of the cushions and everything that yesterday I mentioned we brought all the cushions in from outside because it had been raining so much. Some of them are starting to mildew a little bit. Brought them in on sat them on the porch, and I thought today, all right, according to my phone, no chance of rain for the rest of the day, not a very little chance tomorrow. I thought I can set everything back out and really let it get sun and dry out. So I cut the backyard, which wasn't a problem. Got everything set back up. Hit the pool for a few minutes. Got out, came inside, and the bottom fell out. I mean, everything that I had that I'd been hoping to avoid getting wet and mildewing a little worse got absolutely drenched. So I mean, it's summertime. That's the way it is. You can get rain a little while in the afternoon, sort of like when you're at the beach. It's hot, it's humid, it rains, and then the sun comes back out. So that's the way it is. And just be glad. I mean, at least we're not in a drought.
There's supposed to be rain the next after a break the next couple of days. I think there's supposed to be some pretty consistent rain
right
next week, which is bad news for folks switching places to live over the next week and week and a half,
because right.
I think there's going to be a lot of – I think this is the last weekend for folks, so I'd expect a lot of people in town moving in and out of their apartments this weekend, moving mostly out. I don't know if you can really move in quite yet. But
can't
then,
move in till
the first.
Probably then, first, sometimes the middle of the month, so around the 10th.
Sometimes the 10th or the 14th, depending on if they can turn the place over. And so, I would think this is going to be – yeah, hopefully you get nice weather for that, but the next couple of days could be touch and go for folks attempting that sort of thing.
It looks like a better chance after the weekend. I'll tell you who's also hoping that is Hugh Freeze and the Auburn football staff.
Like some nice
Big Cat coming up on Saturday.
They'd like some nice weather on Saturday
since they've got a lot of outdoor things planned.
Well, a lot of outdoor things planned, plus a tour of Auburn University tends to go a little bit better if you want to show them around the campus all that.
This really is.
Does that really?
This is not really that much a tour around campus.
Right.
This has come in fun and games. You know, different kinds of contests and things like that. It's pretty much a day of outdoor fun. And then I know Alabama's got their barbecue on Sunday. Now, Auburn wouldn't mind if it's beautiful Saturday and pours Sunday, but Alabama would love for it to be the exact opposite, for it to be just nasty weather on Saturday and beautiful Sunday. And I wouldn't say that's a huge factor, but hey, every little bit helps. When you're trying to just have fun and games outside, then you hope that it's nice weather. So I'm not gonna be as concerned about my furniture and cushions and stuff getting wet today. That's not nearly on the scale of what Auburn, Alabama, and other schools that might have something planned for this weekend have.
Oh, Cease got the no hitter.
Good for
Dylan Cease there in San Diego, the surging Padres, right? Looking like
Padres and Giants are both
Pirates
picking it up. And
Pirates won eight of ten, I think, eight or nine of ten. I mean, it's a hot start for a couple of teams right out of the All-Star break.
Gonna make it really interesting as we head, we're 5 days away from the Major League trade deadline.
Just the second.
Yeah, Musgrove had the first.
Second no hitter in Padres history.
And Cease, that was just last year, wasn't it?
A couple years ago, 21, and then Cease was just took a no hitter into the ninth a year ago or 2 years ago. Cease got very close to throwing a no hitter. When he was in Chicago, Cease got very close to throwing a no hitter, and you know those situations where a guy gets into the ninth with one and it doesn't happen. You know that you start thinking, especially if he's never thrown one before.
Right.
It's like, oh man, I hope that's not the closest he ever gets. Still a very good start. You know, you took a no hitter into the ninth inning. It's a major league team, but sure he ends up.
I was thinking that's the Nats, right?
Well, Arias broke up the no hitter against the Marlins a couple of years ago, and Cease, now a teammate of Arias there in San Diego, and Cease gets the no hitter against the Nationals. Padres win 3-0 earlier today.
Yeah, welcome back, Dan. How was Nashville?
That was fun. Oh, you know, a smooth drive up. One thing that I
You guys didn't drive through a lot of rain.
It
poured here yesterday. I mean, we had more than an inch in an hour.
I'd say we had a couple of pockets between Birmingham and Nashville where there's some gnarly weather, but for the most part, it was very very smooth, uneventful ride. You know, with me and the Justins, we should be able to call Ferg. By the way, he's got some stuff going on today,
okay.
but he might be able to might be able to make a phone appearance in hour number two here on the drive from the Auburn Observer. But it was a great event. Shout out to AEW for credentialing me and my knucklehead friends.
Yeah, how about that?
For these things. It was a wild spectacle last night. A two ring. With a cage over the top of it, you know, with a 5-on-5 thing, and then they did a battle royal with a lot of the talent that wasn't in that match later on. So it was fun. You know, hot crowd. Bridgestone's a great arena. I'd never actually been inside the Bridgestone before there in Nashville. It's right in the middle of Broad. And what's cool about it is, and I would contrast this to Truist, which isn't necessarily in the middle of a downtown area.
It's not.
Not
at all.
One really cool thing was, I mean, there is, and maybe for a really, you know, for a sold out event at Bridgestone with overflow, you know, if it was a game 7 of the Stanley Cup or something, like maybe there wouldn't be as much available parking all over that, you know, in every direction. But I mean, we were able to get a reasonably priced parking spot in a garage and walk 3 blocks.
Oh, that ought to be your next thing now. If you're getting credentialed, you need parking.
You know what? So Bridgestone says suites. Suites are the only folks who get reserved parking,
so and everyone else doesn't.
Everyone covering. Well, and I guess the thinking is there's public transit and a lot of parking in the immediate area there at Bridgestone. But it's a cool venue, and you know, a lot to do right around there, being that's, you know, smack dab in the middle of Broad Street. So it was a fun night. We stopped at a couple different Buc-ee's there on the way to and fro.
I have still yet to ever be inside one.
Interesting.
I've never stopped.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't needed gas when I've been going by one, and it just seemed like there's so many people there that it's like, it's all right. I just don't think about it.
I don't want to blow it out of proportion or anything, but I think as far as like gas stations go, it's incredibly well maintained, and a lot of the food options are good, and they do a lot of sort of interesting things for a convenience store / gas station. If I don't go there all that often. If I lived nearby, or if it was something that I passed,
you live about as close as I do.
I know, and I don't go all that often.
Yeah, so I just don't think of heading in that direction.
Sometimes I'll stop there on the way to Montgomery. You know, if I'm gonna.
I have seen, you know, the world's largest Buc-ee's just opened in Texas, and there's one in Ocala that's going to be a little larger. Do you see that?
I think we drove by. Maybe on the way back from Dallas, I think we may have driven by the one that had previously held the record.
Well, the one in Ocala is going to have over 120 gas pumps.
So the Texas one that has the record now. I think it took it from another one in Texas.
It's only going to have it for a short time.
So maybe we saw. Yeah, I think I saw number three. You know, there I saw the bronze medal in the biggest service station. I
mean, bronze medal, man. What a way to segue into Olympics tomorrow night.
Yeah, how about that?
Opening ceremonies tomorrow night with LeBron carrying the U.S. flag
and quite a bit of Auburn representation at these Olympic games.
We've 10 current or former Auburn athletes.
That's right, in track and field,
swimming.
Swimming, gymnastics, obviously, with SUNY Lee going for a second all-around gold medal in the best all-around category there at the Olympics. So trying to win a gold medal for Team USA as well. You've got JT Thor, who made the cut for South Sudan. He is one of the. I think they cut from after the Team USA game. They cut from 15 to 12.
They better not have cut him after that game.
I know, but they had to cut from 15 to 12
right.
for their Olympic roster after the game against Team USA. And JT Thor makes that cut, so he will represent the United States at the Olympics. There's also he'll represent South Sudan and as a former Auburn athlete at the Olympic Games. Also. Men's tennis. There's a former Auburn athlete, I believe, for Germany.
Tim Poots.
Yeah, Tim Poots for Germany is also at the Olympic
Quetz.
Games.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. But yeah, he'll compete starting Saturday, a day after tomorrow. If you want to watch it live, it'll be on at 5 o'clock Saturday morning on Peacock.
I was going to say most of these Olympics live
are going to be
most of these events. If you want to watch them,
are going to be late night or early morning.
And a lot of them are on. I think most of them are on Peacock.
Most of them are on Peacock.
Yeah, I mean you can also. I think a couple of cable channels will have coverage as well. I think NBC is going to turn over some of its. I would think like USA and NBC and maybe even the news networks. I think get turned over to Olympic coverage once the games get going. But
NBC, yeah. I see at least for the ceremonies involving anybody from Auburn, they're all going to be on Peacock or NBC. Well, there are a couple on E.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so I would think that, but you're right. Peacock is going to be your place for most of. And I know USA is going to try to do a lot of coverage as well. I mean, there's rugby. There's sports coming up on USA as well. But it's a lot of different places. Check your local listings for any specific event that you want to check out on the Olympic Games.
All right, we're just underway here on the Thursday Drive. You can join in by calling us on the Drive Hotline. That's sponsored by Skybar, and the number is 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, so we will effort Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, who is with us when he can be on Thursdays. We'll check in with him at some point. Got any idea when we want to do that?
Maybe the start of the 5 o'clock hour.
Okay,
you want to try
that
too? So, Bill, looking at the listings for the USA Network over the next couple of days, and it's all Olympic sports going on. Like right now, they got the rugby quarterfinals going on. They've got some women's soccer coming. So if some of these events started already and they're doing some like qualifying
stuff. Yeah, they usually do. It's funny because the opening ceremonies will be going on while some events are getting down, I guess, usually to a semifinal type situation.
Yeah, they've got men's rugby and women's soccer on USA for the next 12 hours or so. Women's handball gets going. Then they take a break for like 12 SVU episodes. And then they go back to the Olympics.
Well, of course.
They go from like 4 o'clock Friday until the middle of the night. They show SVU.
Well,
episodes.
It's because there's nothing going on.
They want the Olympic ceremony. They want people to watch the Olympic ceremony on NBC.
Well, if you want to watch the Olympic ceremony live, you can watch it at 12:30 tomorrow afternoon on Peacock.
And then it's Saturday at 2 a.m. They get going with rowing, and there's some overnight.
When is the
overnight dressage?
I was going to say,
how about women's judo at 3 a.m. on USA? You want to see the 48-kilogram women's judo and the 60-kilogram men's judo eliminations will be going.
Well, you can watch the first Auburn athlete Marcelo Cherighini in the 4x100 free. Relay heats starting at 4 o'clock
badminton,
on Saturday morning.
Badminton mixed doubles Saturday at 3:30
like
in the morning.
The either the walking or the some shooting used to be
maybe both
really early.
Yeah.
You know,
isn't there an event where you run? Isn't there a run and shoot?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
I mean, and you would see that it seems like some of those things would be going on pre-opening ceremonies back in, you know, just as I recall.
Not the run and shoot.
Not football. The run and shoot offense.
Yeah, BYU. Like whatever, I guess that's part of shooting is part of modern pentathlon. So I guess there is there's an individual sport where you get.
It's interesting that it's part of the pentathlon, but it has nothing to do with the decathlon.
Modern pentathlon is fencing, freestyle swimming, equestrian show jumping, pistol shooting, and cross country running.
Well, that is a varied interesting combination of talents. Shooting, fencing, riding a horse, swimming. What was the other?
Cross country running.
Okay, running, swimming,
shooting.
Riding, shooting, and fencing.
Yes, it's like Robin Hood training, right? It's like
Robin Hood didn't have guns.
Yeah, it's true.
He didn't have pistols.
Barry Lyndon, like you learn to be a highwayman in the 1800s or something. So in 2024, the structure consists of separate events for fencing. Yeah, I guess so. Fencing, swimming, yeah, on a they're going to do it on the boat in Tahiti. Fencing, swimming, and equestrian get separate events, and then that earn the athletes points to determine each athlete's starting time in the final event. The final event is the laser run, which alternates four legs.
The laser run?
Of laser pistol shooting and running.
Oh, okay. I was going to, you have to avoid the lasers while you're running? No,
that's running. I guess that's the running and shooting event you were talking about. Is the laser run part of the modern pentathlon? It used to be known as combined, which was a sport that I guess it was maybe it had a separate event now we're calling it laser run.
Well, gee, just think if they did that with some of the other sports, I love the Olympics anyway. I'll watch the Olympics, but let's just combine some of the sports now. You know, there's not enough interest in all of them. We'll take two or three sports. We'll just combine them. What were some of the events that are going on here early? You've got judo,
breakdancing,
and well, that would be pretty good.
Breakdancing is back.
Judo,
yeah.
or you know, they synchronize something and judo.
Yeah, badminton. You settle badminton disputes with in the judo ring,
right?
There's the combinations are endless once you start combining events and making new sports that way. But yeah, modern pentathlon, the running and shooting combined / laser
modern
run
pentathlon event. Because so many people are fencing these days.
Orthodox pentathlon was my event, Bill, back in the original
ancient pentathlon. Okay, let's. I think we probably should get to our first break.
That's our Olympic preview, folks.
That's it. stay tuned. Stay tuned for more. Depending on you, you can get us out of this
Saturday. Saturday, 11 a.m. on USA. We're in the round of 64 for men's and women's table tennis. So you get into the Olympic table tennis events going on early there. That I tell you what, when high level table tennis. Those things are, yeah.
It's like watching, yeah.
Bill's frantically shaking his head.
I'm following the ball. It's like following Super Pong or something. All right, we'll get to our first break of the afternoon. Come on in and join us here in the madness of the drive.
The Edward Vaya College of Osteopathic Medicine in Auburn is dedicated to its mission of transforming
1067 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Here on this Thursday afternoon, Bill and Dan here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we'll get to the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, and G is up first. Hey, G, it's been a while.
Hey, hey guys, how are y'all?
Doing fine.
Good to hear from you, G.
Great. I wanted to talk a little bit about, and y'all may have done this early in the week, but kind of the history of Big Cat.
Uh-huh.
You know, how far back does it go? And I was thinking, Didn't Trooper Taylor have a lot to do with this?
Yes, very much. Trooper and Curtis Looper.
Chizik's first summer was the first Big Cat, I believe. 2009 would have been the first time Auburn did it, and it was sort of a like it was a way around. I think in part it was. You wanted to be able to show guys.
You wanted to have an event and not use official visits and bring the kids. And they wanted to do something that was a little different. And, boy, there were all kinds of schools that were like, hey, they can't do that. And now you look around and every school has now its own event. Georgia has one in the spring. Alabama's having one Sunday. They call theirs the barbecue. I forgot what they call the one at Georgia. Ole Miss is doing the juice thing. Juice Fest, I think, is what Ole Miss is calling
now, correct
theirs.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, Bill. And gee, this is the part where now Auburn had those coaches, Chizik and the gang, they'd gone on the road, right?
Well,
and
they went on the Tiger Prowl. Yes. Tiger Prowl had to come to an end because there was some contact with players at times when you weren't supposed to be having contact, even if it was inadvertent. That got stopped. But Big Cat has been a rousing success through the years when they've had a staff that cared.
And for some reason, I seem to think like a reluctance to send that staff on, or you couldn't go on the road right during Big Cat weekend. That was like a time when you couldn't make visits.
It was in May, if I'm not mistaken. Early on, the early Big Cats were in May.
So when the Idaho boys came, did they have Big Cat then? It just wasn't.
Yes.
Big?
Yeah. It's just they were late, really trying to get it. Decided exactly when they were going to do it, and getting invitations out. And by the time they did, a lot of players already had plans to do something else. So they just sort of were late to the party, if you will.
So Auburn really. Or sounds like Auburn was, and as best of my knowledge, sounds like Auburn was the first one to really do something like this.
Yeah, they were. I mean, first one to do anything and make a big deal of it as not just a regular recruiting weekend, because that's what everybody else was doing. Auburn wanted to do something that sort of stood apart and was more fun than just a recruiting weekend. That's why they've had, eating contests and games that they play and don't really treat it like visits with
family reunion kind of.
Yeah, right.
The emphasis early on from Chizik was this thing should be. I mean, it, very little of it was about football, right? It was about building relationships between.
Yeah, I think it still is.
They wanted players, and I think that was one of the things that made it kind of novel. Was thinking like, all right, you're gonna focus this on building relationships between the players. They'll be more likely to come if they have friends in the recruiting class with them, and also they get to know the coaches on a more personal level than they would if this were a business like official visit.
Okay, so I've seen a list of players who are coming. Is there been any surprises, say, this afternoon on somebody who they didn't know was coming?
Nah. Well, see, now they may know some folks that are coming that we don't. I haven't seen any. Haven't seen any new additions. I don't think today. But that's one of the cool things about it. And you can. Talk to the guys who are going to be over there covering it. I mean, we had Jason Caldwell on yesterday. Jacob had Christian Clemente on. Those guys both have said they wouldn't be shocked at all if there's a player or two that they didn't realize was coming in that just decided to come in because it is sort of a it's a fun thing. It's an invitation thing. It's by invitation, so. They, the staff knows who they've invited, and we've got a decent idea of who's coming. But there may be some other guys that pop up that we didn't know about.
So they made it really; it's an exclusive thing, and
yes,
players want to be part of it.
Absolutely.
Great. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, good hearing from you, Jeep. 334-321-1390.
Yeah, reading up on some news reports from the time. The 2020 Big Cat Weekend was canceled because of COVID-19 right. restrictions happening at the time. And then in 2021, after the coaching change, there had not really been talk of Big Cat Weekend throughout much of spring into June. And then early in July, it was announced that Auburn intended
last minute kind of, oh, yeah, let's have one.
Auburn intended to have one at the end of, towards the final weekend of July 2021, focusing on the next kids from the next three recruiting classes or so. It wasn't surprising for Malzahn to keep Big Cat Weekend going because he was on that 2009 staff, right? With Chizik and Trooper Taylor and everybody. He was there at the first Big Cat Weekend in 2009. When you went from Malzahn to Harsin, I remember talking about this, Bill, that there was concern maybe the new staff didn't realize what a valuable,
you know what, that concern was well founded.
There was concern that the staff didn't realize what an important weekend that could be when done mm-hmm. correctly, and how beneficial it had been to previous coaching staffs. And even though there's not a ton of carryover between the Chizik staffs and the Malzahn staffs and what Hugh Freeze has right now, I think it is good to know that Hugh Freeze has kept that tradition going and recognizes the importance of what Big Cat Weekend can mean to future Auburn recruiting classes.
Yeah,
he doesn't seem like someone who turns down an opportunity.
Anything to do with recruiting, Hugh Freeze is going to be right on top of it. That's something that he is known for. And this is a great opportunity. And I think everyone is feeling like, you know, Auburn probably gets a commitment or two pretty soon, if not, by the end of the weekend. But don't be just terribly disappointed if there's nothing right then. Just because last year the highlight was, of course, Perry Thompson flipping from Alabama and Hugh being tossed into the pool, and that went viral. That may or may not happen, but I mean, Auburn's got a great shot of picking up some guys like Blake Woodby, the Ohio State, the former Ohio State commit, who is teammates with another Auburn commit who will be here. So both of them are down from Baltimore, but they're three or four guys that I think Auburn's got a really good shot of adding to the commit list very shortly after Big Cat.
Damari Alston committed to Auburn during Big Cat Weekend 2021.
Okay.
I had forgotten that detail of the story. One of the, again, the, I think Jason's gone over the list, right? The short list of guys that were that were on the team, that were on the team the day of the Arkansas game in 2022, the final Brian Harsin game, and are still on the team now. Alston's one of those guys on that short list, and yeah, he committed to the team during Big Cat Weekend 2021.
And as I'm just looking at some things that Christian Clemente, I was mentioning from 24/7 from Auburn Undercover, writing one thing I had not thought about, but yes, this will be the last time Big Cat is held at this time, because the NCAA has made late July and August a dead period, so you're not going to be able to have this type of event in July. I think it could go back to May. That's when Georgia has their scavenger hunt.
I remember hearing that they moved it off Memorial Day weekend because a lot of recruits had other stuff
right.
going on Memorial Day weekend, but maybe the weekend before or after. You'd mm-hmm. probably want a weekend where school's out. So maybe the weekend after Memorial Day weekend would be a target for something like this.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Push it as late as you can in the recruiting calendar before the non-contact period starts.
Yeah. So
maybe the week after July 4th, if it's available.
Yeah, you've got to see exactly when you can. It wouldn't be a bad idea to have it right there. Have that be the last thing on their minds before there would be a dead period. Yeah,
push it as late as you can mm-hmm. into the calendar.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Thursday Drive.
Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Thursday afternoon. Bill and Dan, Drew at the controls. We were just talking during the break yesterday, got into a good bit of discussion with Jason Caldwell and then with some callers about the news Ross Dellinger was breaking about the decision expected Friday in the agreement in the House versus NCAA lawsuit, which is going to set roster sizes, and the roster will mean everyone on that roster can have scholarship aid. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that every athlete on a roster will be getting a full scholarship, because now for the first time, football and basketball will be able to give out partial scholarships, but the roster limits are going to be set. And according to Ross Dellinger yesterday on Yahoo Sports, the roster limit for football will be 105, which is the number that the NCAA has allowed for the start of practice before classes start. So that will allow teams, you know, Don Dunn has said that, yeah, he didn't feel like there was any way that a team could really practice, prepare for a season with an 85-man roster, because you're going to have 20 to 25 of those guys generally are going to be incoming freshmen. Even if they've been here through the spring, they've never been through the workouts getting ready for a season and preparing for a season. So you'd really only have 60 players that knew what they were doing in preparing for a season. So the NCAA, it appears, is going to allow 105 players, and that would mean schools could have up to 105 football players on scholarship.
And this is fallout from the settlement, right?
Absolutely,
This is fallout from the settlement of House versus NCAA in California, which questioned, among other things, whether or not arbitrary scholarship limits were an impediment to students reaching their full NIL potential on the market. And so I guess the NCAA is, you know, sort of refocusing. Yeah, maybe it's not scholarship limitations, it's roster limits,
right?
And
so
things like
so
that.
They're going to go with the roster size that they feel, and I'm sure coaches and administrators have said, hey, we need at least this many players on our roster. So football is going to be 105. Basketball for both men and women is going to be 15. Baseball is the huge change. It is going from 11.7 to 34. And as we were talking yesterday, Jason said, look, in the SEC, he feels like the SEC is going to say, all right, if we can go 34 full scholarships, we'll go 34 full scholarships. That may not be the case for some smaller conferences. They may not be able to afford that. They may still have a 34-man roster and everyone eligible to get some kind of aid. But yes, it's hard to believe that the SEC, with the wherewithal that they have, would be doling out partial scholarships.
There's important language in there. Schools are permitted,
right,
to offer scholarships to the entirety of their rosters. Once these roster limits are set, schools will be permitted.
Right. So you can have up to 34 players on scholarship, but you don't in baseball.
Does that mean every Division I baseball program will have 34 players on scholarship?
No.
Probably not.
No, absolutely not.
Probably not.
I mean, if you read him saying a lot of schools probably won't be able to afford that. But power conferences, it's hard to believe that they won't be doing that. I mean, I can't imagine the SEC not saying, all right, you've got 34 scholarships, and if you don't use all 34 scholarships, it's going to be to your detriment, because you're going to be playing against schools,
yes,
that have 34 players on scholarship. This will level the field much better in baseball than anything ever has. And there was talk that maybe NIL could, but NIL was going to be on top of the number of scholarships you had, whether they be the 11.7 allowed by the NCAA or the extra scholarships that your school might have because of the state's lotteries and such. So this will be a great leveler there. The biggest question, the first question that I had is, how's this going to be handled by Title IX? Because you're adding 20 scholarships to football, you're adding 22 scholarships to baseball, you're adding a scholarship to basketball. Softball is jumping from 12 to 25. So you get 13 back there for women in softball, one back in basketball because they're going from 14 to 15, and I believe volleyball is going from 12 to 18. So you gain 20 scholarships on the women's side, but you're gaining like 43 on the men's side. So if Title IX is still, you know, if everything is still counting toward Title IX, you're going to have to either come up with 20 plus additional scholarships for women's sports, or you're going to have to drop 20 plus scholarships on the men's side.
I think to stay Title IX compliant, both of those options could be on the table for athletic departments. I know there's been talk of how this. I think the settlement was crafted with the understanding that it needs to be Title IX compliant,
right?
Right, and so, and you know, what does that mean? I know the Big Ten commissioner said some things about figuring out ways to in a revenue sharing model, figuring out ways to balance Title IX considerations, whether that's more scholarships for women's sports or more women's sports,
right?
To offset
another team, yeah, or two, because the other option would be drop a men's sport, perhaps two men's sports. And we were just talking about it yesterday. I mean, you look at the success that Auburn has had, track finishing second nationally, golf winning the national title. You sure don't want to think about losing those sports.
No, and I would hope that these schools in the largest conferences would be able to survive in the budget, you know, would be able to withstand, would be able to reshuffle things without necessarily having to eliminate sports. But we even heard, there were ACC programs eliminating scholarship sports a couple of years ago. Remember Clemson tried to cut.
Yeah, and you saw Texas A&M, you know, making, trimming the athletic staff.
Yes, and Clemson tried to cut men's tennis, and I think some boosters stepped up and were able to provide the financial. And maybe that could also be, you know, the question of, you know, asking boosters to shoulder more of the load for certain Olympic sports.
Well, I think part of it too, if I'm not mistaken, in the story, he also pointed out that the additional scholarships, which would probably be somewhere in the $3 to $5 million range, would be part of the agreement, the settlement of that $21, $22 million that schools can or would sort of be expected to be spending on athletes in the future. So you sort of roll that in, and that becomes part of the money that's going to athletes. But again, still, you have to be concerned about how you're Title IX compliant. 334-321-1390. Who do we have up next, Drew? Jeff is up next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine.
How you doing, Jeff?
Oh, I'm doing good. Big weekend, Big Cat upcoming. Kind of excited about it.
Oh yeah, it's great. It's great to be excited. We were just looking back at 3 years ago, Big Cat, when Auburn was hoping that somebody of note would actually attend, not just be here and hoping that they would commit.
Oh, yeah. Now, I hear, you know, I know anything could happen, but one athlete in particular, he's the current player at my old high school, Derek Smith.
Yep, from Selma.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yes, Selma, correct. That's my old high school, Southside Selma. There's buzz talking that potentially that could be a flip.
Well, I mean, everybody is saying that Alabama, you know, wants him as a safety, and Auburn is telling him they really like him as a receiver, and that's probably pretty appealing to Derek. So I think Auburn's got a shot. He's one of the players that I feel that most people feel like Auburn's got a really, really good chance of adding to its class.
Yeah, I hope so, you know, not just being an Auburn fan, but, you know, he's expressed interest. I've gotten to know him. I know his family fairly well. He's a well-rounded kid, and if you haven't seen him play, he's a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah, I haven't seen him in person. I've seen a little film of him, and you're right. Yes, he is very, very, very good athlete.
If Auburn can flip him, my God. The future really looks bright, along with some of these other kids. Smith, I think, out of Thompson. I I hear this kid is some type of athlete.
Yeah, and the younger Fagans, I think Auburn's got a really good shot there as well.
You know, maybe this is naive, but I keep thinking that if Auburn has a big next 6 weeks in recruiting, it's still at risk of getting, you know, it's still at risk of imploding if things go poorly during the season on the field. And then I think if Auburn has a slow next 6 weeks of recruiting and then goes out on the field and plays really well, they can turn Auburn into a place that recruits will want to sign up for. And I don't know, maybe that's, you know, maybe that disregards how important the next 6 weeks are as far as building relationships and convincing players to consider the big picture. But it just, like, it seems
I don't think results are as important as what are they trying to do.
Process.
I mean, process, yeah. If it looks
the
like
process.
I mean, if it's you know, if Auburn drops a couple of games that you weren't expecting them to do, but it looks like it would still be a fun type offense, whether they're connecting or not. I don't think that hurts as much in the eyes of a lot of recruits. They're looking at, all right, would I fit in there? Could I make a difference whether the guys on the field are doing it or not?
Oh, yeah, I agree, Bill. I think the execution of the field is going to matter much, you know, to these kids. You know, this is a different breed of kids that we're dealing with now. They're looking at what type of offense are you running? You know, yeah, results matter always. That's the ultimate goal. But I think they're looking for a system where they can maximize their talent. Mm-hmm. And I think Freeze is bringing that. That's, you know, that's been his forte. And I believe that's just going to continue. You know, from all the buzz that I can see and read, it seemed like kids are just waiting and waiting and waiting. They want a piece of this program.
Yeah, now that's not to say that if you go out and absolutely, I mean, and it's just not any fun to watch at all, then sure, that could turn things
you run
the other direction.
I mean, it's, we've seen programs that have had a big, you know, a big year or two on the recruiting trail, and that has translated into on-field success and started something sustainable. We've also seen programs that put together a flashy
A&M.
Yeah, put together a flashy recruiting class or two and couldn't translate that into on-field success enough to keep everybody happy and everybody in the fold. And so, I mean, I guess Florida would also be somewhat comparable in that situation.
Yeah, that's why this year is critical for Billy Napier.
Oh, yeah. So, Bill, next week with practice, what kind of schedule are you guys going to be on?
Yeah, we don't know. All we know, all we've gotten thus far, is that the first day of practice is next Thursday.
Yeah, we would expect to hear from Coach Freeze either before or on that day.
Yeah, usually
like Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, usually it's day of, but we haven't gotten the tentative schedule as to practice, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, or whatever. Right. We don't know that yet.
Okay, well, we look forward to you guys giving us an update. I'm beyond excited.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy that it's almost here.
Yep, bring it on. All right, guys.
Hi, Jeff. Great hearing from you.
All right. Take care.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us as we continue with the Thursday Drive.
Bar and Lounge.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7.
Online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final couple of minutes of hour number one. All right, we were talking about recruiting and Big Cat and everything. I see where Ross Bjork, the Ohio State AD, said that his team, Ohio State, paid around $20 million to Buckeye football players this past year in NIL. That, I mean, remember when the talk was, well, you need to have $3 to $5 million a year? Not if you're recruiting against Ohio State, apparently, if they're paying their players $20 million for last year And Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports said that is the highest NIL that he thinks there is in the country. I would hope so. $20 million in NIL for football.
Although getting back to what Bellinger, or getting back to the Ross Dellinger, not Cody Bellinger, but getting back to the Ross Dellinger talk from earlier, I believe that the cap for, you know, per program, aren't they looking for $20 to $25 million as sort of where?
I think that's what they expected.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, boy, if that's the case, then they don't have much for other sports, do they? If they're spending $20 million for football,
I mean, I would think that's where. Well, the revenue sharing cap and the NIL cap are not
right.
The same thing.
No, you're
I believe the revenue sharing cap is going to be in the $20 to $25 million per program range. That's sort of where they think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was expected. Yeah, $22 million.
But then, but outside NIL considerations are not the same thing.
No, that's right. That's on top of that.
I mean, if you ever try to put a cap on that, I think folks will fight tooth and nail to, you know,
it needs to get back to being name, image, and likeness again, though, and that seems to be long gone. All right, we're halfway done. We'll check in. We'll see if we can check in with Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer, get his thoughts on these and some other topics in hour number two of The Drive, which is coming up.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Thursday Drive. Bill and Dan here in the studio. We are efforting Justin Ferguson of the Auburn Observer. See if he can join us as well as we're here on this Thursday afternoon here in the studio. Drew at the controls. Second hour of the show brought to you as usual by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. Love for you to join in as well. We talked a little bit about Big Cat in hour number one. Talks about the roster limits, which look like they'll be going in place officially tomorrow for multiple sports, which would ostensibly increase scholarships when the roster limits are set. Basically, something we didn't mention earlier today, but I talked about yesterday. It would eliminate walk-ons in all sense. I mean, it would mean that every player on a roster can get scholarship aid. Doesn't mean that they necessarily will, but it's going to make it much less likely. Jason Caldwell said he thought that would pretty much do it in football. That Auburn would be going out. Auburn, Alabama, Power 5 schools would be going out and signing the players that they usually don't take that wind up at UAB or South Alabama, places like that, that they would go and get those type guys. The players, now that you see, he didn't feel that invited walk-ons would necessarily be just put on scholarship, that if one school is going out and trying to sign 20 more players that might be able to help them, that every school in that conference, and maybe most in the power conferences, would be trying to do that. You wouldn't have guys that played high school football coming out and starting being able to come out and try out for the team because you'd already have your 105 roster set.
Well, it's interesting to think if guys who weren't on – if you expand the scholarship or the roster limit from 85 to 105, if you grow it to 105, are there players who aren't currently on the team at Auburn or Alabama or Georgia who would be on the team if the team had, like, are there guys at the mid-major level or are there guys playing?
They might only be there for a year if they're not getting any playing time, but Yeah, or I think there would be.
Or I wonder if this would be an opportunity to take, you know, your walk-ons and things like that and put guys like that on scholarship.
One time.
At the moment, you're right. And then
but
and then
once
after
you've
that,
done that.
Yes, after that, yes. I would imagine it would be a popular decision at the major conference level because these coaches want to have larger rosters and
right.
more depth and more options and all that stuff. Just like we were saying in the first hour, at the smaller conference level, you get outside the SEC, the Big Ten, maybe
it's
even the ACC,
gonna,
the Big 12.
It's probably going to hurt them. I mean, because you have players that in the past
would ULM want 105 scholarship players?
No.
Like are there?
No, they,
are there
they,
you know,
they'd I, probably I, want a roster of that size. But what Jason and I were talking about yesterday, and we'll get Justin's thoughts here in just a minute. We're about to bring in Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. What very well could happen in smaller conferences, you would hope the conference would have schools reach a consensus as to, all right, we're going to offer this many total scholarships since football now can be an equivalency and you can give partial scholarships and say, we're going to stick with our number that we've been going with of 85 or 75 scholarships, but be able to dole and split those scholarships up to 105 players.
I wonder how that would be received when you get outside the SEC and some of the other major conferences. What they'll decide to do, how they would, you know, because I think because they'll also be susceptible to revenue sharing. The larger your roster is, the more players you're sharing your revenue with in that situation.
Well, they're already going to have to deal with that anyway.
Right, but it is I wonder if now does the amount of revenue you share. Does that change if it's 70 players or 100 players, or is it? Are you still?
I don't think so.
I wonder if you're still sharing the same amount. It's just the, you know, it's just the slices of the pie,
right?
That you know, the pie itself is the pie.
Well, you may have the differences that you've had, like in Division I and Division I AA and things like that, which have been scholarship, not roster. Now we won't be thinking so much in the scholarship. It's going to be roster size. So that's something. It's another huge. I mean. Very significant change to the face of college athletics.
But for states that have, because we've always heard about the disadvantage that Auburn and Alabama face, right, in baseball. Like
right.
And states that are unable.
They shouldn't be facing that anymore.
States that are unable
if you have the funds, if you have the wherewithal.
Yes, if your program is in a state without a lottery, because we've heard that for a long time, mm-hmm. that your state would be unable to make up, your program can't make up the difference with academic scholarships the way Florida or Georgia or Tennessee or the Mississippi schools, I guess, you know, were always able to do so. This would seemingly take that away.
Absolutely.
And now every program in the conference.
In baseball, you got 34 scholarships. And if you don't want to give 34 athletic scholarships, that's all fine and good. But, good luck. And,
And I've heard that NIL's made up some of the difference there, right?
But NIL should be on top of that. I mean, you still have the states that could give the scholarships in addition to the athletic scholarships. Let's bring in Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer here on this Thursday afternoon. Ferg, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How are y'all?
Doing all right, Ferg. Fun time last night.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I was looking forward to coming in with y'all today, but as it turns out, somebody hit my mailbox.
Most of those over there in your neighborhood, that'd be noticed by the vehicle that would hit it, I think, as well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I've been over here this afternoon at the house working with, you know, the builders and warranty folks and stuff like that.
So, oh, yeah.
Didn't come in today, but I'm glad I was able to hop in with y'all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you heard, I guess, we were talking a little bit about the story. I'm pretty sure Ross Dellinger broke it yesterday on Yahoo about roster limits. And I was a little surprised when I saw the numbers because there'd been some concern that roster sizes might have to drop scholarship-wise, but it looks like rosters, scholarship numbers are going to increase significantly in football and especially baseball.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good thing when you look at, like, you know, baseball is going to be able to be a big scholarship sport. I think you see a lot of others I think softball's getting up. Basketball's going to add a couple more. Volleyball is going to become a bigger sport as well. So I think that's all. Those are all really good moves to make. You know, just because I think in those, you know, those sports, I think can really benefit from being, you know, full scholarship or close to full scholarship sports. And with football, it's interesting because, yeah, like you guys were saying, it's pretty much going to be the end of walk-ons as we know it. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, what comes of it, right? Do all these, you know, do all these rosters get filled out by guys that would normally be, you know, like y'all were saying, going to Troy or UAB or South Alabama because, you know, there weren't any spots available at Auburn left? Or is it going to be a situation where, you know, you get who you want and you get your guys, get the class that you think you want and the roster that you think you want, and then you can start, you know, giving walk-ons, you know, full scholarships, so like being able a lot more. I don't know which direction they're going to end up going, but I do think it is a very, you know, I think it's a very welcome thing moving forward. I mean, there's so much money in college athletics, right? You know, it's especially when you're talking about the Auburns and Alabamas of the world. There's so much money to go around, you know, and obviously we're getting to a point where it looks like, you know, these players are going to be paid directly by the schools. But I think in, you know, in the transition process to that, you know, instead of, you know, this money, you know, necessarily getting lined with, you know, all these other people's pockets, you know, the fact that these guys and girls are going to be able to get full scholarships, not have to worry about that at all, I think from top to bottom is going to be really good. And it'll be very interesting to see how it kind of changes the power dynamic in, you know, the major sports like football.
Yeah, the next thing that I'm really interested in once this is announced is, you know, how does the SEC, how do the major conferences then respond? Does Greg Sankey say, okay, we're going to have 105 players on scholarship, or do the SEC coaches and administrators say, well, let's go 95 scholarships and 10 spots, 95 scholarships that we can spread out among 105 players, and that way the guys, those extra guys you're bringing in might get a half a scholarship or something like that? I've got a feeling that that the SEC and the Big Ten especially are going to say, all right, if that's our roster, we're going to go that many scholarships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is going to be interesting, and I think it's going to be another spot where you might be able to see some like separation between the haves and the have-nots in college football. And I'm not just even necessarily talking about, you know, who's in a power conference and who's not, but I think when you talk about like, is the SEC and the Big Ten like on their own, you know, are they going to be able to split off from the rest of college football? It might be over stuff like that, you know. And I think the natural question a lot of people are going to have to this is like, okay, well, what does this mean for you know, the smaller conferences and the smaller schools, and will they be able to pay that and all that? Hopefully that's going to be the case. But yeah, like I think this is going to give more power, I think, or at least more autonomy to conferences. And I think you could start seeing some separations in the leagues based on, you know, who's going to be willing to pay what and who wants to decide on what.
It seems like, yeah, more distinctions between, even if they're not official distinctions at the Division I level, between you know, major conference and mid-major conference. I think especially in the revenue sports, right, in football and men's basketball, like that could be readily apparent as to and yeah, I'll be curious to see if there are differences within conferences between between,
will all conferences be able to afford 34 baseball scholarships, yeah, and 25 softball scholarships?
I think there could be ample opportunities for walk-ons in some of these sports where they're going to say, you know, and you know what, if you're on the roster, you may still get to participate in the revenue sharing, but you might not be on scholarship, right? Because there could be, you know, a difference there. Like schools could look at, you know, this ruling is about how many scholarship schools are permitted to offer, which doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be required to offer that many. And some schools may say, if you're already getting something in the revenue share, maybe that's where the line will be drawn, and they may keep an artificial scholarship.
I just don't
limited.
See that happening in the SEC.
No, I would imagine that schools, you know, that are you know, schools that got that Disney money, probably can afford to shake a little bit of it out for the student athletes.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and I think that's the thing, is like you're now, any move I think that is going to give players, you know, more compensation, whether it is you know, the NIL money or just more players being able to get the benefit of having a free education. I think that's going to be really good. So I'm all for it. I think there are going to be some hoops you're going to have to jump through for sure with the conferences, but I do think, yeah, this is going to start to kind of create some more power, you know, differences in the landscape of college athletics.
All right, so Auburn getting ready for fall practice. A week from today is the first day, not just the first day of August, but the first day of fall practice for the 2024 Auburn Tigers. What are you going to be looking for the first time the media gets an opportunity to get out there, Justin?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see kind of the newcomers and like how, you know, how they plug in right away. And by that, I mean the post-spring transfers, you know, the Keandre Lambert Smith, the, you know, guys that were on the defensive
couple line, of defensive linemen, Lee, right?
Isaiah Rate. Yeah, I think that's going to be because you need to find, you know, who's going to be able to be trustworthy on that defensive line. So it remains my biggest question mark about this team. I think when you look at really good Auburn defenses over the last decade or so, they've had kind of a go-to guy in the trenches, an interior defensive lineman, or at least a couple of them that they felt like they could be really reliable. I think Auburn's got a lot of depth. Like, they got a lot of experience. But even Hugh Freeze said it last week at Media Days, not sure if they have the talent. But, you know, this is the time to see who can kind of separate themselves from that pack. You know, other things, you know, I wrote about this for the mailbag tomorrow that's going up to the Observer. You know, this is going to be my 10th or 11th fall camp, and this is probably the most comfortable I've felt with a depth chart projection heading into a fall camp. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of positions, we kind of know the lay of the land really well, but there are some spots that you just kind of look at and say, okay, what's going to happen there? And maybe more of the drama or the battles are going to be further down the depth chart. Quarterback's a big one. Who's going to be the number two behind Peyton Thorne? Because, you know, not only do you have to have a good number two ready in case he goes down with injury, but as Hugh Freeze said last week, hey, if he struggles, you might be turning to that guy. So who's going to be reliable there? Cornerback. You know that, you know, Keontae Scott and Kay and Lee are going to be your starters. You feel probably pretty good about Antonio Kite kind of being maybe the third guy there, but, like, who else is there at corner? With Colton Hood transferring, with Tyler Scott with his ACL injury, That position group is pretty thin, and so it'd be interesting to see how much guys move around and kind of who separates themselves in that, because I think you're going to need a third and fourth corner to be reliable in this league. You know, like I said, I think Kite's got a lot of hype, but what does this mean for a guy like J.C. Hart? Is it an opportunity for one of these freshmen to come in, or a redshirt freshman to come in and really turn some heads here? So that's a position group that keeps in mind. And then This one's kind of, I won't say minor because special teams are important, but, you know, on top of the situation with Alex McPherson and, you know, is, you know, Townsend McGugan going to be ready to go if needed. You know, with Brian Battee, obviously, you know, not playing this season with what happened earlier this year, what does Auburn do with kick returner? That's the one that I'm really interested in, and you know, I talked about it in the mailbag for tomorrow as well. But you look at Auburn's got some speed, they got some options. It might be a, you know, week or two before we kind of start to see what they're looking at kick return. But that's the one I'm kind of interested in because, you know, Battee was an All-American at that position. It was really good. Auburn's got some options, and they got some really intriguing options, I think, back there that they could use. I'm very curious to see who they end up turning to because, you know, the right kick returner can really change a game for you.
Yeah, no question. I mean, I agree with you. I think there'll be more eyes or more questions defensively as to, you know, how things are shaking up. Yeah, Hugh Freeze told us last week when I asked him about that, he said, yeah, it is pretty obvious. Most things are set. You've got an idea who the starter is at most spots. It's who is the depth. He was saying there on the defensive line, he wasn't as concerned with the depth chart. He just thinks you ought to rotate all six guys there inside. But it's safety and the secondary. Yep. I think there's more interest with who is, you know, who's going to be out there and in the rotation. Offensively, I guess the only thing is who are the first three guys you're going to see at receiver, and I think we've got a pretty good idea who they are.
And those two positions, Ferg, defensive line and receiver, are the two positions where there's been pretty drastic turnover from the end of last season to now. And you think about contrasting that with last summer – There was drastic turnover.
Every position.
Everywhere. There was drastic turnover all over the field. We were constantly looking at each other and wondering, who's that? Now, who's that? Which guy's that again? Because it was, I mean, we were seeing a lot of these guys for the first time, or you're seeing them after seeing them for the first time in spring practice. I think if it feels calmer, it's because so many of those guys on that projected two deep were on last year's team.
Like,
I know not all of them, but like it's, I mean, especially, I mean, you think about compared to how the two deep looked late July 2023. Like, so many of those guys were brand new. So many of those guys had just arrived on the team a year ago when you were trying to project. Now there are some new arrivals.
There are
there are a lot of holdovers from
last year. You mentioned the guys defensively. It's going to be hard not to be looking out there and just seeing how Perry Thompson and Malcolm Simmons fit in too, though.
Yep.
The along with Keandre Lambert Smith, because I've heard nothing but great things about Malcolm Simmons summer. And everybody's been, can't wait mode to see Perry Thompson.
I know somebody who saw Perry Thompson around and thought he was thought he was one of the defensive end linebacker recruits, and didn't believe me when I was like, no, that's Perry.
Yeah, no, it's interesting to think about it. I think about, Big Cat Weekend coming up here this weekend. You know, Perry Thompson was the big fish last year. Auburn makes the big flip, and at that point in time, he was a 5-star, and there was a lot of excitement, and it was big. Obviously, with flipping Cam Coleman late in the cycle, Cam Coleman being an early enrollee, Cam Coleman's gotten a lot of attention and a lot of praise, and should. He looked like the real deal in spring ball. But you got to remember, Perry Thompson was right behind, Cam Coleman in terms of ratings coming out of high school for most of, their cycle, basically. So, Perry Thompson, it's going to be a little bit tougher for him to come in and immediately, turn heads like Cam Coleman does, but I mean, physically, he has got every tool that you want in a big receiver. It might take him some time to get going, but if the light comes on for him quickly, that's another big body guy who can win one-on-one matchups that they really, really wanted back there. So, yeah, that, and then Malcolm Simmons. I think Malcolm Simmons and Bryce Kane both have examples of that. 4-star freshmen. There's a bunch of experience they've added to that room. Might be a little bit tougher to get consistent playing time this season, but then I look and say, okay, these two guys have some of the best athleticism that you're going to find on the team. Bryce Kane with that blazing speed, Malcolm Simmons with great speed, but also the agility, the strength, the explosiveness, just by being an incredible athlete. So I think that's an interesting group, because like you said earlier, but like I think we know who the top three is going to be at receiver in some sort of order. It's just, you're going to need 4, 5, 6. Who's going to be able to be relied upon if Auburn's going to be the passing game it needs to be this year?
It's hard not to say, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, that this has got to be the best that you've felt about Auburn going into fall practice in 4 or 5 years, probably 2019.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I think that this, obviously, we didn't really know what to expect in 2020. Really know what to expect in 2021. Things weren't great, these last couple of years, obviously. So, yeah, I mean, I agree. I think, this is probably your best that you felt since 2019. And then that 2019 team, oh, by the way, that's a true freshman starting a quarterback that year, but you had this elite talent and you've got, really good experience coming back, and then you pair it with some really good newcomers, and, the excitement level should have been pretty high that year, and it was. And so I think for Auburn, this is still a rebuild process. This is still a team that's facing a tough schedule. It's got some question marks on their roster. But I think fall camp is going to be a place where you're going to see Auburn start to kind of put it together. I think, again, the fact that they play 5 straight home games to open the year is going to be very helpful into building up that momentum. And I think the other thing with this team is, going back to something Dan said earlier, like, There's a calmness and a familiarity, with this team. You kind of know what to expect in terms of your personnel. And I think while we'll see how all that kind of comes together with the new coaches, new coaches and all that, and how it works out all in the field, I do think that contributes to what Hugh Freeze said last week. It's just, he feels more comfortable with this team. It's year two. You got some familiar faces. You got some new faces that you're very confident in. It should set up for a better season this season, but you know, you got to actually go out there and do it. And especially in the month of October, it's not going to be easy for Auburn.
Oh, no. And you mentioned Big Cat coming up this Saturday, the final Big Cat that's going to be able to be held at this time of year, because it's going to be a dead period next year as far as the NCAA is concerned. I mean, Auburn's had some huge success through the years from Big Cat, obviously a couple of down years under the last regime when Big Cat didn't seem to be as much of a priority. But there's no question Hugh Freeze and his staff have once again made this a very big priority as far as, you know, making a splash, if you will, at that little pun after last year, Hugh making the splash. But they're looking to do so again this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like, you know, you see the visit list, and it's not, you know, as star-studded as maybe some Auburn fans have won, especially the quarterback position. But we'll see how it kind of goes. I do find it interesting that here we are at Big Cat weekend, and there's a, you know, reportedly a visitor coming in from Alabama at wide receiver who could be on flip watch. I mean, I think that's, you know, pretty funny considering what happened last year at this time. But it's a really good mix of guys, I think, in this 25 class. Don't have everybody you want in, you know, on the visit list, but you've got a couple of guys that are on commit watch or flip watch, and I think Auburn, they could get multiple commitments out of this weekend, get some momentum rolling, you know, back on the recruiting trail would be good. And also, the 26 lists that I've seen have been pretty impressive as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it might be something where you can get a really big head start in that class as well. So, yeah, Big Cat is, you know, it should be a pretty eventful weekend for Auburn. I don't think they're going to go nuts and just get a ton of guys committed this weekend. But if they get two or three and they make good progress on some of their big targets, I think it'll be a job well done for the staff before they head into fall camp.
Yeah, and that the thing to keep in mind is, you know, last year it was Perry Thompson on Big Cat. They got Malcolm Simmons a little later, but they also got guys that committed later for this year. So I mean, it's very much about 25, but as you said, it's also about 26 and beyond. So that's something to keep an eye on. Justin, I know you've got some things to take care of there. Let everybody know what's going on with the Observer, because I mean, it's not just football. I mean, there's basketball, excitement about the upcoming basketball season. So what have you got going there at the Observer?
Yeah. So this week at the Observer, I did a couple of stories on Auburn's wide receivers you can check out. I wrote one about Robert Lewis. I thought it was interesting last week. Hugh Freeze, saying he thought he was flying under the radar. Peyton Thorne called him a guy that, you know, was the leader of that group. So did a deep dive on him and some of his film from Georgia State you can check out. Also did a story this week on Cam Coleman and just what are reasonable expectations for a freshman of his caliber at wide receiver. So dug into some numbers there you can check out. Mailbag out tomorrow. Should be a fun one. And then also we are going to do our second trivia episode. We're doing a basketball one this time. So Dan and Painter and a couple of our buddies are going to be jumping on. And so that'll be fun. That'll come out on Friday as well later in the day. So if you're an Observer subscriber, you'll get both of those. But it's a great time to sign up, auburnobserver.com. We email everything out to you, whether it's a newsletter or podcast, and things are going to come really fast and furious here in fall camp like they always do. So it's a great time to join up.
Great stuff, Justin. Again, thanks so much, and best of luck getting everything taken care of, getting the mailbox back in order.
Talk to you soon, Ferg.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you, guys.
Justin Ferguson with us here on the first half of hour number two.
It wasn't us who did the mailbox.
No, it wasn't us. Drew? We were in the neighborhood last night, but I didn't come down his road.
Yeah, there is a mailbox. There is a mailbox stuck to your front fender.
Big gash.
What's going on there?
Don't think so. It was raining a little bit. I couldn't see that well. No. I would have noticed if that were the case. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Open up phone lines. Love for you to join in the final half hour here on the Thursday Drive.
The Drive Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7
and online at ESPNAU.com.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Thursday edition of The Drive. Bill and Dan in the studio, Drew at the controls. Shout out to Justin Ferguson joining us over the phone for much of the first half of first segment, yeah, and then some.
Well, we took him for an extended segment there because he's usually with us for the whole show and wanted to get as much as we could from him.
We're just a week away from the start of fall practice.
It is crazy, isn't it? And we may have a viewing window.
May have a viewing window. It's amazing we didn't really get into basketball much with Ferg in that segment. But I mean, there will be. I mean, we'll see if there's more basketball scheduling news in the next week or so. As
we're expecting to find out, we're still waiting for a couple of opponents in there, and the expectations are they're going to be prominent.
Well, we're in the ballpark of getting the entire out-of-conference schedule.
Right.
Usually the first half of August or so is when you find out the entire college basketball schedule. So I would expect details to start leaking out, especially if, like you said, Bill, Auburn has another high-profile opponent on the out-of-conference schedule, as rumored. I would think that. I mean, we know that Auburn's going to play in Atlanta.
Right.
Usually it's a major conference or very prominent mid-major team as the Holiday Hoops giving opponent.
It's not official, but I mean, it's all but official that it's a Big Ten team.
Have you heard a rumor as to which one?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Have heard that it's going to be a pretty prominent Big Ten team, but it's everyone is saying it's a Big Ten team, and then Auburn's going to play a game out in the state of Texas, and all indications are it's a pretty prominent team from the state of Texas.
Yeah, so some major conference teams could end up on the schedule between now and the next couple of weeks, that those games could be finalized and announced. I would think that Auburn's whatever Auburn is doing in the out-of-conference schedule, the other games will be confirmed too. I mean, we're coming up on that time we're just a couple of weeks away from the start of the fall term. Like you said, fall practice getting started next week. It's an exciting time as the off-season winds to a close.
All right, let's get to the Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390, and it's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar, and Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. I wanted to ask about a couple of injuries regarding football players for Auburn. First of all, we have a running back who's recovering from a gunshot wound. I wonder if he's completely healthy. Is he ready to accept whatever load the coaches want to put on him, or is there still more to go?
Brian Battee, okay, Yellowhammer. Brian Battee is still recovering from the traumatic brain injury.
Been
among
some
other injuries.
Amazingly good news that he is he was able to walk with a cane recently, but no, I mean football is not anything that is.
Is it future has it at all, or is it like
who knows
over?
I would not expect to see him this season. I think that the team is waiting for him to be okay, healthy enough to travel,
right?
And they get to see him again.
Then,
it is a tremendous story that he has improved as much as he has to this point.
So the depth then.
Auburn has They have three scholarship running backs with Jarquez Hunter, who was a preseason first team all conference running back. Damari Alston and Jeremiah Cobb are very talented backs as well. Those are the three scholarship athletes they have. They have a fourth athlete in Justin Jones, who transferred in and has been a walk-on, but he is he's better than your average walk-on. He's 6'1", 200 and something, a little over 200 pounds.
Yeah, Auburn has the luxury of a running back like Justin Jones waiting in the wings as a walk-on, who they saw a lot of on the scout team last year. He was a UAB player for 2 years, didn't play, didn't appear in a game at UAB, but was on the roster for 2 years before transferring to Auburn. Was a
He was on every kickoff coverage, I believe, last year. I mean, so he has been on the field and has played some special teams. And
was an all-state running back at Bessemer Academy before beginning his college career, and appeared, like you said, in every game last year for Auburn on special teams. I don't know. I mean, if you're asking the fourth string running back to shoulder a lot of the load, it would indicate that things have you know, it's probably been a struggle with the three guys on the depth chart ahead of him. Maybe injuries, maybe availability concerns, things like that. But no, Auburn. I think Auburn is in a position where they feel comfortable seeing what they have in Justin Jones as the fourth running back on the team.
And they have a commitment from the top running back in the state, and Alvin Henderson, who had been committed to Penn State. He has flipped to Auburn, and he's a commitment. But he wouldn't be. He wouldn't be a part of the team until next year.
Go on to the kicker who is injured. Talk about that.
Yeah, Alex McPherson has had some gastrointestinal problems that Hugh Freeze said last week. They have said it's IBS and could
was
be
it the, was it the
could
same
be
reason,
more than that.
Same reason he didn't play in the was he dealing with that in the spring?
I don't know if that's the reason that we didn't see him there in the spring. He did miss the spring game as well.
He skipped the spring game. Yeah, I mean that's Towns McGoo had an impressive spring game.
Yeah, he's had
Alex's
trouble,
absence.
And Alex is not the biggest guy. He was only about 155. And was having trouble. He'd lost a lot of weight and was trying to get that back and get everything under control. And Hugh Freeze was optimistic that they could do that, but he's still going to have to build his strength up. And that's where Towns McGoo, the Auburn High product who came in as a preferred walk-on. Boy, you wonder if Auburn's got extra, they have a few extra spots scholarship-wise now. I'd be very surprised if you don't find out that Towns is on full scholarship because he is a tremendous young kicker. He had 60-yard field goal last year at Auburn High, kicking off, not using a tee, and then he went 7-for-7 with field goals, including a 60-yarder to win the A-Day game. So Auburn's very fortunate that they have a young man like Towns McGoo.
And Towns McGoo also, I think that he's going to be working with the first team until Alex McPherson gets the all clear. And so that would also suggest that Auburn maybe take a good look at their true freshman preferred walk-on kicker as a scholarship option. Hugh Freeze did talk at the Ambush event last week. Got a question about Alex McPherson there and said that he was enthusiastic about the most recent news he'd received about Alex. I don't know if that necessarily means he'll be cleared a week from now to kick at fall practice or if he's back at some point this season. But it does sound like they're optimistic that they could get Alex McPherson back.
Sounds like things are okay.
Well, it's easy.
It could be a whole lot worse.
I mean,
yes.
It's easy. It's easy for us to say not battling whatever Alex McPherson has been going through for the last 6 months, the gastrointestinal issues. But yes, it does seem like Auburn. I mean, from an injury standpoint, Auburn goes into fall camp with a lot of the projected two deep, looking like they're healthy and ready to go with no restrictions in about a week.
Okay. Well, thanks. See you guys.
All right. Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. We need to get caught back up on our break, so we will get to a break. Love for you to join in. Plenty of time for you to get through here on the Thursday Drive. The results are. We weren't quite ready to come back, Jerry. Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing pretty good. Glad it's getting toward the end of the week.
Yeah. I was just curious what Sonny Lee's chances of medaling in the Olympics.
Well, I would say anyone who is getting an opportunity to participate for the United States, especially when you're as talented as Sunny, she's got a chance to medal.
She might medal. She'll be meddling like the Scooby Doo kids, right?
M-E-D-A-L, not M-E-double-D-L-E.
Now, Sunny's up against. I mean, look, Simone's one of the
Simone Biles is one of the greatest gymnasts.
But these are two athletes that they both have won Olympic all arounds. I think that it's really impressive considering Sunny's health problems the last couple of years that she made the Olympic team again, was able to get. I mean, there were other she had competition in the qualifiers, and there were some folks who thought maybe she wasn't going to be able to complete the comeback in time to qualify for this year's team. I would say that Biles appears to be the favorite, but Sunny Lee you know, as the defending champion in the all-around, certainly presents a threat.
And she'll get started on Sunday.
Oh, good. Yeah, I saw where Simone was coming back, so...
Yeah, it's been a right. tough road for Suni. I mean, we talked about, you know, Alex McPherson's problems, and Suni had, you know, some health problems there that really set her back. And as you said, Dan, I mean, it looked very touch and go as to was she going to be able to physically be able to compete in the qualifying.
Well, looking forward to the Olympics.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, a lot's going to be going on here over the next week or so. We've got, you know, keeping up with what's going on with Big Cat, getting ready for the start of fall football practice and the Olympics all going on at the same time.
All right. Well, y'all have a good weekend.
All right, Jarrett, good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Sky Bar.
I mean, Suni has talked about it, and it's got to be, I mean, in a moment where – she, you know, you would think that the year 2 years after winning the all around at the Olympics would be one of the great times in her mm-hmm. life, and I think because of the scrutiny, because trying to adjust to being a student athlete at the same time,
that's something almost unheard of. You don't see, you know, you haven't seen many cases where the, you know, one of the most prominent figures in the Olympics then starts. College.
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, with the amount of celebrity after the 2020 Olympics
right.
following Suni Lee and then Dancing with the Stars shortly thereafter.
She was great on it.
And she was amazing on that. But I mean, I would think that, and it's not, that's not an Auburn thing where people talk about, oh, she struggled with the amount of attention she received walking around.
That would have been anywhere.
Yeah, I think that would have been, that would have been anywhere. And people say, well, maybe not even in a big city. Like, I think if you're Emma Watson going to school at NYU, or if you're, you know, one of the Modern Family kids going to school at UCLA, there's, you know, people will notice when you walk around campus. And so, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but I think that's probably just a sign of the times issue, but then also the kidney disease, like to have to deal with odd physical,
not knowing what it was.
Trying to deal with different symptoms, and she's talked about how some of it impacted her appearance in a way that made her self-conscious, which has to be incredibly difficult when you're a gymnast and a celebrity. No kidding. So to be back, it's like, it's awesome that Suni Lee is back
really
in the Olympics. And if you know, like, what she's been going through the last couple of years, like, it's really, really cool. And then there's also the chance that she could, you know, she could still, I mean, she's still got her fastball. Like, she could still hang. Like, we'll see what she could do. But, like, I think another triumphant Olympics would just put her in rarefied air as an American gymnast. And, yeah, and it's all with the understanding that Auburn's a big part of her story. And I suspect Auburn will be a big part of her story, like, for a while. She's talked about, you know, the positive memories that she has of her year in competition. And, I mean, she's known the Grabas for life.
Yeah,
I mean, so it's, I mean, yeah, I think that there's a more than a chance that she still maintains a, you know, a connection to Auburn.
Yeah, I think so. I absolutely think so as well. And again, as we said, 10 current or former Auburn, I don't know, that 10 may not have included JT Thor, though, so it's probably 11, because I didn't see JT on the list of 10 when Auburn sent that out. So I think it's at least 10. Double-figure former, current, or former Auburn athletes who will be participating in the Olympics, which will get started. I mean, there are some things that are underway, but the official opening ceremonies will be on Friday from Paris. I saw that our friends the Moults.
Are they there?
Well, yeah. I don't know if they were gonna. I didn't know if they were.
Are they there for Taylor Swift, and they just stuck around?
No, they're there for, I think, a trip up the Rhine and some other things. But I just wonder, they're gonna be getting there, and they'll be there as the Olympics are getting started. So that's cool. So, it as I said, going to be a lot of things to keep an eye on here over the next week or so. All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Back to wrap things up here on the Thursday Drive.
Inspired by the